Ebenezer family and friends, it is so good to be with you. Any excited folks that just say, you know what, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Can you put some emoticons in there, some clapping of hands, some smiley faces, just letting the Lord know that you are thankful for his mercies and his kindness. He's been so, so, so good. I'm just thinking about where we're going, where we're going to get in the scripture today. We're going to go to the Sea of Tiberias, and we're going to see God do some wonderful, wonderful things. I want to just thank you. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. This has been a wonderful journey, just realizing what the Lord has been doing, how he's been touching lives, saving souls, delivering and setting free. And it's because of you. Thank you for that, for encouraging and praying for our Bible studies, our Monday manna, our Tuesday noonday Bible study, our Wednesday Bible study. Thank you for that. Thank you for praying for the fellowship. We have our Thursday fellowships that we get together at 6 o'clock and go through the book of 1 John. And we also have our services at 8:45 and 10:45 in person. Of course, our 10 o'clock online. That is not just reaching those who are local, but in other states and other places. So continue just to share the good news that we're teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, getting the word of God, getting the truth so that we can renew our mind. Finally, thank you for your giving. Giving is not just monetary. We thank you for that. But giving is also, we're going to find out in the sermon today, reaching out to others, sharing the good news. So however God is moving in your life, I just want to thank you. It says God loves a cheerful giver, and he wants us to purpose in our heart. We've been blessed at Ebenezer to do a lot of things, a lot of outreach programs in our community, but also abroad. And we're just seeing Lord do just things, miraculous things. And I am so I'm so glad to be a part of that, that he's allowed us as the body of Christ, whether we're in a virtual setting or we're in person, we're all lifting up Jesus Christ and what he's doing in our lives. Well, I am ready to get into the word. I just want you to be prepared, your hearts to be prepared, and just focus in on who God is. Well, you be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
So every day I have to look into, I think about this all the time, the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Amen. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Yes. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Yes. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. For God's word. Amen. Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We sing, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord.
In the words of TJ, get ready, get ready, get ready. I tell you, as we get back into our topic, renew our mind, how we learn as the Lord teaches us. Today's lesson, we're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, but we're going to learn a lot about ourselves and how God teaches us. Remember, we've been in that memory scripture, Romans 12:2, and I want you to read it aloud with me. We're getting it in our minds so that it can get in our heart. I mean, not just for next week, but for a lifetime. Once we get it in our heart, it's there. It is there, and you'll be able to use it at any time as we think about renewing our mind. So Romans 12:2, if you read it aloud with me, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I see you. You're getting it. You're getting it. You are flowing with it. And that's the wonder of memorizing scripture, but not just getting in our mind, again, getting into our heart. It just flows. You don't have to think about it. And that's the one of the biggest ways God teaches us, that we can learn more of him. Before we get into today's lesson, I want you to get ready. Get your devices if you're taking notes, notepads, whatever. I want you to make mental notes, because we're going to be building on various layers today as we get into the scriptures. So I want you to go with me to John 21:14. John 21:14. And while you're getting there, please go into a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. Lord, you have been amazing. You've been a wonderful provider, a lover of our souls, Lord. You have done so many wonderful things, so many things that we've taken for granted. And forgive us for that, Father. Lord, I pray for those who are listening, viewing in, that don't know you. I pray that today they come to know you, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Lord, I pray that they receive that gift. I pray for the saints, Lord, that we grow, that we have more understanding of you, that we truly renew our minds in you, that we be used in these last days, these dark days, that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and just cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we just love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get into this scripture on John 21:14. It reads, "This is now the third time." If you're in a chat, can you put three? You can type three, or you can just put the number three. As we're going through this lesson, we're going to be dealing with a lot of numbers, and you're going to see why a little bit later. "This now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." A title today that kind of sums up what we're going to be talking about: learning through repetition. Learning through repetition. All of us, if you've been to any school, any college setting, just life in general, repetition is so important. I remember I'm starting off driving, and the skills of driving. I remember being so jittery when I was in class, but the more you did it, the more it became second nature to you, habit forming, because we went over and over things. And that's the same way as this with the Lord. He uses repetition. We're going to find out through the Gospels as he challenges the disciples and those that are around. And even our lives now, as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it's a repetition that we can understand what the connection with God is all about. As I think about this, I just wanted to give you some quotes from some famous people that talked about this repetition process. The first one is from Muhammad Ali. I love it. It says, "It's the repetition of affirmations that leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen." I think that's powerful, especially as we apply it to the Christian life, because that's what it is, man. When we go over this, and that's why it's important for our parents to train up their kids in the way they should go. And the scripture says, in the end, they will not depart, because, man, that belief process is started from a early age. And then when they embrace it for themselves, man, it's powerful. Generations have been led to Christ through that habitual way of repetition. But please understand, in the same way, the enemy wants to use repetition to teach us. Another quote comes from Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher in the 1800s. He says, "The repetition of small efforts will accomplish more than the occasional use of great talents." Isn't that good? That repetition of small efforts. And when it comes to our growth, I'm telling you, it's the little things. Scriptures say, do not despise small beginnings. A final quote from Jack Canfield, "The Chicken Soup of the Souls," if some of you read that. He says, "Repetition is the key to real learning." Repetition is the key to real learning, and we're going to find that out today, learning through repetition. The time frame is 33 AD. If you've been following along with us in this sermon series, we have gone into chronological order as we're looking at the different gospels, looking at Jesus' life, and picking out certain portions to apply to this learning process, how Christ actually teaches us, how God speaks to our hearts. I want to go to the section of John 21 and start at that first verse, because this is very pivotal. Christ has been resurrected from the dead. He has actually showed himself several times to the disciples and those that are around. And we're going to find specifics as we get into the scriptures. But the disciples are still going through. They're still perplexed. They're still troubled. But I am so glad for a God who doesn't leave us alone, doesn't leave us in our situations that we're struggling with. He is there for us all the time. Let's get into this. John 21:1. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself." Isn't that good? He showed himself again. Can you put in the chat again? Again, very powerful. Here's our first point. Are you willing to see? Yes. A question to you. Are you willing to see? A question to me. Am I willing to see? Jesus wants his disciples to really know that he's real. And they were challenged because they saw from afar, many of him, Christ dying. And so now that he's been resurrected from the dead, Jesus needs to make sure, hey, you got this, because you're going to have to carry this story. I'm going to have to ascend back to the Father, but you're going to be my hands. You're going to be my feet. And you got to know this beyond all doubt. The enemy's going to come at you really strong, but you got to know that I'm real. Luke writes of this in Acts 1:1. To solidify that this fact that Christ got up for us, learning through repetition. He says, "The former account made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, and given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." Verse 3, "To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering." This is important. "By many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking other things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Luke brings this out. He says Jesus did this over and over again, showed them proofs that he was alive and real, learning through repetition, because he needed them again to carry this this good news to everyone that was around and would receive it. Paul gets this revelation a little later in the epistles, 1 Corinthians 15:3. Listen to this. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. This whole process, this Peter, James, and John, 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. Can you put in the chat 500? This is huge. 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. 7th verse, after that, he was seen by James and then all of the apostles. Then last, Paul says, I need to let you know God did something that was miraculous. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time, learning through repetition. Saints of God, I want to know if there's any doubt in your mind about Jesus. I want that doubt to be erased today, because Christ is real. In order really to be saved, you've got to be solidified. You got to know that you know that you know. That is a really foundation point of our faith. And God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that He is that guarantee. Having the Holy Spirit inside, even when doubts try to arise, the Holy Spirit goes, yes, I am here. And we can know that God is so real. This is so important in that learning process. The question is, do we really want to learn? Do we really want to see? Do we really want to renew our mind? Many people just don't put in the effort because they know it's going to cost them something. Any amens out there, or hallelujahs, or ouches? It's going to cost them something. Anytime you're trying to learn and grow specifically in God, it's going to cost you something. Even those who are doing other things in your life, you want to become more proficient at it, maybe on your job, maybe you're doing a talent or gift that God has blessed you with, it's going to take some time that you focus in. But the disciples knew that really seeing Christ for themselves and knowing this in their heart was worth, it was worth it all. John writes with joy of this in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested to us. That third verse, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I love that verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full, learning through repetition. The question is, are you willing to see Christ? Let's go to John 21:2. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others, his disciples, were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. His first point, what are you focusing on? Yes. What are you focusing on? Still dealing with the topic, learning through repetition. This is the third time, and we're going to repeat that over and over. This is the third time Jesus had actually revealed himself to the disciples. This is critical to me, because it would seem like the first time would have been enough, the second time, but this is the third time. You would think that the disciples wouldn't have necessarily went fishing in this evening time, but they would have been somewhere praying, somewhere worshiping and praising, waiting for Jesus to show up again. But again, they were fighting doubt. They were fighting this struggle, like, okay, what does this all mean? Can we really live our lives in this expectancy of Christ and who He is? But we often tend, when we get in those places of doubt, to go back to habitual things, things that we've always done, because they bring us comfort. We can just shut down our mind and we just kind of go into this cycle. This is what the disciples do. They were creatures of habit. Peter here, he's still dealing with the fact that he had denied Christ three times. Can you put three times in the chat? He had denied, and so he's processing that. The other disciples are dealing with the fact that they had run away. They weren't there in the time of need of Jesus, even though he had told them that you're not going to be able to stand with me. I'm going to have to take this by myself. As we think about this whole process, they were distracted. They were losing focus. And the question I put to you, what have you been focusing on? What distractions have actually taken you away from renewing your mind, memorizing and growing in the Lord and worship and praise? What things have you allowed to come into your life? And then when you look back, you're like, man, I could be so much further in this relationship with the Lord. I love Him, but I'm not spending the time that I should with Him because I've been distracted. Jesus said this, that He is there for us in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he will be with me. This is important. He is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door of all of us. He says, I want to spend more time with you. Man, I want relationship with you. I want you to be in your secret closet with me and loving on me and realizing that I have a plan and purpose for you. I'm talking about learning through repetition. Look at John 21:4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I love this point. He is so close. Yes, he is so close. So they have been fishing all through the night, and then Christ shows up in the morning. Oh man, this is a beautiful picture if you can get it in your mind. Hebrews 13:5 lets us know this closeness that Christ has. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I give you a word? Some of you are going through some dark times, some challenging times, and it feels like he's not there just because you can't see him. But I want you to know he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, he is right there. There's some times that you got to speak over yourself. You got to speak to yourself. You're going to have to lift up your hands when you don't feel like it. You're going to have to shout and say hallelujah when you don't feel like it. And then by faith, you'll connect and you'll realize he is so close. He has been there all the time. The disciples are fishing, and this is important, and Jesus is on the shore. I want to say that again. Hopefully you'll get that. The disciples are fishing, but yet Jesus is on the shore. Where are you in your life? Are you off doing something without Christ? Man, are you doing something that you're expecting to be productive, but yet Jesus is on the shore? He's like, if you want to be productive, if you want to grow, you got to renew your mind. You got to learn through this repetition process that I've been doing over and over again. Again, the question, I want you to ask yourself, where is Christ in my life? No matter what you're going through, he is so close to you. This is important. Warren Wiersbe, he gives us a wonderful quote about this challenge of Peter and the disciples. He says, when Peter returned to the old life, he took six other men with him, and their work was in vain. How kind is he to come to us when we have disobeyed him and have failed in our work? I want to read that again to you because it is powerful. We can apply it to our lives. When Peter returned to the old life, he took six other men with him. Can you put six in the chat? I'm going to work here today. Their work was in vain. How kind he is to come to us when we have disobeyed him and have failed in our work. There ought to be some praise and worshipers out there saying, God, thank you for your grace. And you put grace in. If you're sitting in your living room and say, grace, just holler out grace, because there have been so many times we've gone the opposite direction. We've done what he told us not to do. He had already given a mandate. Hey, he had showed himself, but yet they have gone back to their old lives, gone back to their old careers, not realizing at this point their lives will never be the same. That's what we get when we learn through repetition. Christ keeps coming to us. God's word keeps coming to us, and it transforms us from the inside out. Look at John 21:5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. 21:6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. I hope I got some Bible scholars with this, so some lights should be going out, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Here's the point. We need a word from the Lord. Any witnesses out there? We need a word from the Lord. Man, as we're going through this repetition process, you see it? We're going to build on this. Christ is doing things that he's already done. Vicky Wine, and she brings out this whole word, this whole thought pattern. She said, we don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. But what we need is a special word. Anybody need a special word that will bond within our hearts and give us direction from above? We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord, speak. This is so wonderful. See, as far as the disciples were concerned at this point, this was just a stranger on the shore just giving some advice. They had missed it. They had missed it. It had not clicked yet. They're going to get it, but it's going to take a little bit. And saints, that's what repetition. God continues to come and woo us. I want you to know that God is up to something in your life right now. You've just been missing it. He's been doing it over and over again. Remember, I have a quote. If you always do what you always done, you're always going to get what you always got. And for the most part, that applies to our lives. But Christ does this. He continues to do repetition. And please understand, because he's the truth, he expects us to change. Yes, and he gives us tools by the way of the Holy Spirit to be conformed to what he's trying to teach us. In response to this advice of this stranger, they throw the net on the other side. And guess what? Man, a load of fish. They're able to pull it in. And as they're pulling it, the net doesn't break, but it's so much, and they're going to have to get help to pull in all of these fish. We need a word from the Lord. This shows, this is so important, that the Lord Jesus, and I don't want to get off context, but he has precise understanding of the location of the fish. There ought to be some shouts. He knew what he said. They're not on that side. They're on the other side. This is important, but remember, Christ had actually done this before. Yes, learning through repetition. Luke 5:4. Can I read this to you? When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, this was earlier, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Luke 5:5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. Isn't that amazing? That same scenario had happened months and months earlier, had caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Luke 5:6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the nets so that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, this is important, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Luke 5:9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Please put that in your mind. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm talking about learning through repetition. Isn't this wonderful? As you think back, Jesus does the same thing over and over again. So we can get it, that we can learn through this repetition, that our minds can be renewed. And even when we run for him, even when we do the wrong things, Christ says, I'm here. Let's go through it again. We're going to go through this lesson again. And he knows that we're going to change, because he's going to keep on teaching us. Look at John 21:7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. I love this part. Here's a simple point, but powerful revelation. Yes, revelation. I wanted to define this, because I think it's a revelation, and even getting the definition of this word. Revelation is a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. Yes. A surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made in a dramatic way. This is what's happening. He's getting a revelation. The disciple John, he gets like, this is the Lord. Peter is like, yes, this is the Lord. Everybody, now the lights come on with all the disciples, and Peter's like, my goodness, he jumps into the sea to get to Jesus. Peter finally gets it. It's Jesus. See, when we determine to renew our mind, man, you're gonna see the lights go on. You're gonna see miracles in your life. You're gonna see souls saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. You're gonna see healing in your life, not just emotional healing, but I'm talking about physical healing, but most importantly, spiritual healing, as we connect with the Lord and we learn through this repetition. How many times will Christ have to repeat himself to us? But I'm so glad that he does repeat. Are there any amen? Aren't you glad that he goes over and over again till we get it? Woodrow Kroll, he brings out a thought pattern. He said, it seems that Peter actually had to swim about the length of a football field. Yeah, about 100 yards he had to swim, because he was so excited. How many of us are willing to jump into the water and just stroll folk to the Lord. No matter how we get there, we like, Lord, I got to get to you because I'm learning, God. You're taking me through the same process. I finally got it. Anybody know that the Lord is good? We say it a lot. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts out, hallelujah. That's that repetition process that he keeps on blessing us over and over again. Are you willing to really lean in to renew your mind? And maybe this would have been Peter's song as he swam to Jesus by Fanny Jane Crosby. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Are there any witnesses out there? Look at John 21:8 with me. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Please keep that in your mind. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Are you walking with me, learning through repetition? Here's the point. He keeps on blessing. Yes, he keeps on blessing. As I think about this, I think about this whole scenario, this repetitive thing that he's done for the disciples here. Philippians 4:19 comes to my mind. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Any witnesses out there, any amens, know that he is a provider even when we have failed, even when we've gone astray. He's there. And we see Jesus in context here. He is already provided. He's saying, I don't need your fish. I already have some fish. John 21:9. I want to look at that closer, that second part. They saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Now just I don't want to get too deep into this, but I had questions. I wish I was there. I want to know where he got the fish. Did was Jesus fishing? Did he have, you know, a kind of a pole that he went out and he got the fish? Where did he make this bread from? Where did he get it? But wherever he got it is right there, because he's a provider. He's provided for the disciples as they come in from the shore. Now this is interesting because I can't help but think back. You know what? He can multiply bread and he can multiply fish. You remember, we're talking about learning through repetition. Can I go back just some months? This happened, Matthew 14:17, and they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. 18 verse, he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. I'm telling you, it's learning through repetition. They had gone through this process, Matthew 12:14-20. So they all ate and were filled and took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men. Can you put in the chat 5,000 men and besides women and children? He keeps on blessing this process. He's teaching the disciples. They're learning through repetition, and it's the same thing for us. I'm telling you, you need to look back over your life and see what God is doing. See what God is teaching you from day in and day out, teaching you on your job, teaching you on your family, teaching you in your struggles, teaching you in your pain, so that we can get closer and we can renew our mind. Look at John 21:10. I'm telling you, taking it up another level. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Can you put that in the chat, somebody? 153. Wherever you sit, say 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Oh my goodness. Here's another point. So much more. Yes, so much more. Even when we have gone astray, I've said that a lot, but please get this. Even when we've gone astray, God wants to bless us, and he wants to take it to another level, but he doesn't want just our blessings for us to pile on ourselves. The blessings are to reach out to bless others. I hope you got that. Notice John 21:11 again. They dragged in the net to the land full of large fish. Now large fish, not small, large fish, 153. 3. We got that. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. That was God. God's hand was in all of this. Now realize the fish was not for the breakfast that he had already done for them, that I will say created for them, that fish and bread and the coals, it was already there. It was set up so it'd be nice and hot for them. And so this is in addition to what he's already put forth. Many interesting explanations have been offered as to the meaning of this 153. And I stop here because I want you to know God doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste numbers. I've studied a lot of numbers within about the Bible. I love numerologists that are looking in and making comparisons of sevens and threes and twelves. It's wonderful. So I wanted to break this down just a little bit. Some theologian historians believe that the number of fish, 153, were the number of languages in the world. Ultimately, this is talking about evangelism, and we're going to build on that. Someone else said the number of races or tribes in the world towards which the gospel net would be spread out. And finally, the number of different kinds of fish in the Sea of Galilee or in the world. And so this whole process, just thinking about the numbers of different types of fish that were there, the size were large, God allowed it to come in. There is no doubt that this all speaks of souls being saved and brought to the knowledge of truth. Remember, Jesus said this powerful statement to Peter and Andrew in their initial calling in Matthew 4:18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, and then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you, there it is, fishers of men. Yes, this whole process was not by chance. It was a learning through repetition. They were being taught over and over again. They had missed some of the critical points of the test, the exam. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm gonna give you a re-examination. I'm gonna help you through this. I'm gonna give you some points and facts and figures so you can link. I'm gonna give you visual. I'm gonna help you to learn in this process because it's gonna be so important. Look at this final verses, John 21:12. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. They were like, okay, we know it's the Lord. But again, it's solidified. They're learning through repetition. Nobody said anything. They just realized. It tends to indicate maybe he had a different vibe, but they knew it by what he had said and what he was doing. John 21:13, it says, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. John 21:14, this is now the third time, can you put 3 in the chat again, the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The final point, commune with Christ. Yes, commune with Christ. It had to happen to them as they're dealing with revelation and this learning through repetition, because please, as he is feeding them, he's serving them the fish and the bread, they had to think back to that 4,000 and 5,000. They had to go back to the thought of going into that upper room where Jesus broke the bread at, and they shared that wine, and he began to tell them about all the issue that he was going through. It had to all blossom. I'm talking about communing with Christ. I'm telling you, when you've seen God work, when you've seen God do it, are there any witnesses out? When you've seen God do miracles, signs, and wonders, it's hard to forget. And then when he does it over and over and over again, well, I just want to tie it up here. Come back next Sunday. I think I'm going to continue on with this section of scripture, but I'm so glad that he didn't stop in that upper room just as the Passover, but he was betrayed and he was crucified on that cross of Calvary for us, because he knew that we would mess up and we would have issues. Luke 23:34 said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm so glad that he gave up the ghost for us, and they put him in the cold grave, but he got up with all power and glory, showed signs and wonders, goes back to the disciples and lets them know that he is real. He is real. Ascended to the Father. And now, do you know that real God is coming back again? It's been prophesied over and over as we see the signs and the times that he's coming back. Will we be ready? Yes, he's teaching us. I want you to learn through repetition. I want you to want to know him in a deeper way. Saints, I am telling you, as we're in this holiday season, there's so many people that are going through so depressed and so broken. We need to be close to the Lord, even as Peter, James, and John, even as these men, the disciples, were able to commune with Christ. Christ wants that for us in our lives. Man, he is doing whatever needs to be done to teach us. Will you be willing to renew your mind? Will you be willing to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you need to do to get my attention, here I am. I want revelation of you. If you're not saved and you're listening in right now, I want you to be saved. But please understand, only Christ can do that. He just asked us to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raising from there. Said, you will be saved. He wants us to sincerely go, okay, here I am. I get it. Every Sunday I say that scripture. I put it out because it's so important, because I realize we're learning through repetition. Somebody's going to say, okay, I confess. I'm a sinner. I've got issues. I believe that you're real. And that you're coming back again. I'm telling you, he'll save you from the inside out. I encourage you to connect with a local fellowship that you can grow and you can show forth your faith. You can be a soldier in the army of the Lord. For the saints who are saved, I want to encourage you, learn, look, see what he's doing, and he's doing over and over again in your life. He wants you to evangelize that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. A few Sundays ago, one of the brothers in Christ at the church, he went fishing. And while he was out there, he caught some fish. And he was excited. He said, Pastor, I caught some fish. He said it was a blessing to go out and catch these fish, saltwater fish. And I said, you know what? I eat fish. He had talked about it. He got all these fish and everything. And you know what? The next Sunday, He brought me some fish. See, he went out and fished for them. He went out and caught them, but he brought the fish to me. Oh, man, it was a blessing. I enjoyed those fish, but there's a spiritual connotation to this. See, that all of us are called to be fishermen of men. Yeah, all of us are called to share the good news. But I'm blessed as a pastor. Many times people, they share the good news and people get saved outside of that physical building. And that's the way it's supposed to. But then they bring the fish to me. And at that point, we get to grow together as a body. As John said, that we may have fellowship one with another, because we know what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for us. And that fourth verse of 1 John chapter 1, and it says that our joy may be full. Are there anybody out there that's got full joy? Could you just, one last time in the chat, could you put full, F-U-L-L, full. I'm full because I'm learning through repetition. Right now, as we go into prayer, I want you to think about somebody who may not be saved, that you've been thinking about their struggles. There's so many people that are going through. I want you to just think, get them in your mind right now, and I want you just to call out their name. Maybe you're with amongst people. You really can't call it out loud, but maybe you're by yourself. I encourage you to call that name out aloud right now, that you want God to move on their behalf. And I'm telling you, just as this learning through repetition he did with the disciples, he wants to do it in our lives. And sometimes you're going to have to call out some stuff over and over again, but God is working it out. You just got to learn and trust him. Would you pray with me? Father, we just lift up souls right now, whatever those names are that are in our minds right now, to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. And Lord, some of them we prayed over and over again, but we understand only you can save, only you can deliver. Lord, those who are connected with them, who may be going through or trying and striving to share the good news, I pray that you strengthen them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for your powerful arm, Lord. Thank you for this learning process of repetition, that you never give up on us, Lord. And I am so grateful, so thankful for that. Lord, the saints, as we pray together, we ask you to use us in these days. There's so many stressed out people, Lord, so many people suffering from depression, so many people going through broken relationships. But Lord, we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, God. Thank you for that repetition in our lives, that you're always there knocking at the door. Help us, God, to open up our hearts, to renew our minds, that we can grow in you. Lord, we just want to say we love you. We praise you. You are such a wonderful God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is something inside of me
telling me to go ahead.
Something inside of me
telling me to go ahead.
Something inside of me
telling me to go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Let me say that again. Something inside of me
is telling me to go ahead.
Something inside of me is telling me to go ahead. I feel it all over me,
telling me to go ahead.
I feel it all over me.
It's
telling me.
Telling me to go ahead.
I feel it all over me.
Telling me. Telling me to go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Listen, y'all. There are days when I'm burdened and I feel so depressed. Sometimes I get tired because I'm under so much stress. But something on the inside makes me feel brand new. And it's telling me to get up, 'cause you got work to do. Oh, I feel it down in my soul,
telling me to go ahead.
I feel it down in my soul. It's telling me.
Telling me to go ahead.
I feel it down in my soul.
Telling me to go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me say that one more time. There are days when I'm burdened and I feel so depressed. Sometimes I feel tired because I'm under so much stress. But something on the inside makes me feel brand new. And it's telling me to get up, 'cause you got work to do. Oh, it must be the Holy Ghost telling me to go ahead. It must be the Holy Ghost telling me to go ahead. It must be the Holy Ghost telling me
to go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. You know what? I feel like running,
feel like running,
feel like running,
feel like running.
I feel like running,
feel like running.
I feel like running,
feel like running.
I feel like shouting.
I feel like shouting.
I feel like shouting. I feel like shouting. Must be the Holy Ghost. It must be the Holy Ghost. Nothing but the Holy Ghost. Nothing but the Holy Ghost. Well, there is something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something inside of me is telling me. There's something inside of me telling me. Go ahead, go ahead.